Hare Krishna, today we are continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 9, Detachment from All That Is Material, and the last text of this chapter, text number 33. Avadhuta Vachaha Shrutva Purvesham Na Sa Purvaja Sarvasanga Vinirmukta Samachitto Babuva Ha Avadhuta Vacha Shrutva Purvesham Na Sa Purvaja Sarvasanga Vinirmukta Samachitto Babuvaha Avadhuta Vacha Shrutva Purvesham Na Sa Purvaja Sarvasanga Vinirmukta Samachitto Babuvaha Avadhuta Vacha Shrutva Purvesham Na Sa Purvaja Sarvasanga Vinirmukta Samachitto Babuvaha Matajis. Word to word meaning. Avadhuta. Of the Avadhuta Brahmana. Vachaha. The words. Shrutva. Having heard. Purvesham. Of the ancestors. Naha. Our. Saha, he, Purvajaha, himself a forefather, Sarva, all, Sangha, from attachment, Vinirmukta, being freed, Samachitta, with his consciousness, on the spiritual platform and thus equal everywhere. Babuva, he became her certainly. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O Uddhava, hearing the words of the Avadhuta, the saintly King Yadu, who is the forefather of our own ancestors, he became free from all material attachment and thus his mind was evenly fixed on the spiritual platform. Purport. Here the Lord praises his own dynasty called Yaduvamsha, because there appeared in that dynasty many great self-realized kings. King Yadu was enlightened by Dattatreya in the form of an avadhut Brahmana, who taught the king to fix his consciousness on the spiritual platform of detachment by simply observing the creation of God. Thus end the purports by the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Detachment from All That Is Material. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Shesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Dvaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare O Uddhava, hearing the words of the Avadhuta, the saintly King Yadu, who is the forefather of our own ancestors, became free from all material attachment and thus his mind was evenly fixed on the spiritual platform. Hare Krishna. So this is a very beautiful purport here, a short purport, but many nice points are covered. We will cover all these points. There are three points in number here. The first is about Lord is praising his own dynasty, especially because King Yadu appeared there and he was enlightened by Dattatreya Rishi. And also, it is mentioned here that the king, by his association with Dattatreya, was able to fix his consciousness on spiritual platform and become detached. So, this is the last verse of this chapter, and the next chapter begins with the title, Nature of Fruitive Activity. So, with this last verse, we also end the beautiful section of the Avadhuta Brahmana describing the 24 gurus to Yadu. And this is the last verse wherein we can see the transformation happening or being projected in this verse which is mentioned that how Yadu became free from all material attachment. And therefore, title of this chapter is Detachment from All That Is Material. Now, we will hear about the story of King Yadu soon. But the point is, King Yadu, when he came to Avadhut Brahmana, he was not very detached. We'll hear the story later. But now he has got completely detached. And the reason is that he got association of a great saintly person, Avadhut Brahmana, in the forest. So we have been hearing so many times that by association of devotees, all that is, which is actually very difficult to give up, becomes very easy to give up in our life, all the attachments, conditionings. In our own life, we can see that how when we were in the material world as a non-devotee, and then by Krishna's arrangement, by devotees' arrangement, we got chance to come into Krishna consciousness. And in Krishna consciousness, the first day we came to Krishna consciousness, it was very difficult for even us to fathom the lifestyle of a devotee. And yet, something attracted to us. And that attraction kept on asking us to come again and again, and then eventually we became a follower in Krishna consciousness. And then slowly, slowly, all that attachment was there, which we were always very much cherishing in our heart, they went away. To give up all the nonsensical things in our life, attachment to sports, attachment to cinemas, attachment to drinking, attachment to eating so many things, attachment with non-devotees, conditionings, all went away. These are all very cherished things, you know. People post on their Facebook page when they drink or when they marry, because that's something which really touches their heart. But yet when we gave them up, we never put a post on the Facebook or today morning, or we told anyone or wrote a diary that today morning I left my tea, I left this. Why? Because it just went away. That is the power of association. And herein, in this particular chapter, we can see that Yadu underwent a transformation because of the power of association. I would like to begin in a way, a very, very touching story which I came across when I was traveling. This is how one particular country in east of Africa, they got a center, or the first devotee ever, the first person ever became a devotee, is all because of association of one devotee. Now I'm speaking of a country called as Tanzania. Tanzania is a basically Muslim country, and I met one devotee there, a Gujarati devotee, Dilip Bhai. Now he is Daya Mahaprabhu Das. So I went to his house and asked him how he came to Krishna consciousness. And he mentioned to me, when I went to his altar, I saw a big photo of Tribhuvannath Prabhu. Now some of you may know Tribhuvannath Prabhu, but Tribhuvannath Prabhu is actually a Prabhupada disciple, and he left his body long back. He was a very revolutionary preacher. He had all opportunity to get posts and position in ISKCON, but he never took anything like that. But he was basically fixed in preaching and extending compassion of Prabhupada to everyone. So he preached in UK, and he had a very nice gathering of devotees who were over inspired by them. And then one day, inspired by Srila Prabhupada, he thought, let us go away from UK and preach to that places where no one goes to preach. So then he decided to go to East Africa. And that's how East Africa, many places in East Africa became Krishna consciousness because of his efforts. So he would take all the devotees from UK to preach in East Africa. And soon he realized that to impress Africans, it is good to bring some white body or some Indian body, some UK people. But to make them devotees, we require actually people from their own origin. So then he was, wherever he would meet some black devotee, he would always inspire them in UK or US or wherever he travel, inspire them, join them in the trip to Africa. In my talk, I would speak of black devotee and white devotee. Just for terminology, no one is black, no one is white. Vaishnava Jati Buddhi. But like no one is Gujarati Vaishnava, no one is Sindhi Vaishnava, is it not? Similarly, but for terminology, like black devotee, we understand it's from like African origin. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also used the same technique. He got all the devotees who were black in America to come with him to preach in Africa, and then people could relate to them. So one particular morning, Dilip Bhai, who was for one generation before his parents had come to Tanzania, he had no experience of India. He was born in Tanzania. His parents had been traded as laborers from India to Africa. So now they were settled. Father had left his body, mother was very old, and this gentleman was now married with kids. And suddenly, in this strange country of Tanzania, where there is no Krishna consciousness, no names of Krishna or any Indian names heard, he hears a powerful Sankirtan. So he is immediately affected. He comes out of his window and sees a whole Kirtan party there. And the Kirtan party, Tribhuvanathru is leading the Kirtan. There are white devotees, there are black devotees. And he's surprised. How come suddenly in Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, this city, so many people are chanting Hare Krishna? So he immediately runs down on the ground floor and is standing there watching the whole fun. He is amazed. And then from that whole group, one devotee, a black devotee, comes out. He goes to a store and asks him, "See, my throat is not working properly. I have to sing. Can you give me some medicine?" And the storekeeper didn't have a medicine. So he asked him, "Do you have adrak, you know, ginger?" He said, he had never heard ginger also, the storekeeper. "Do you have anything like a clove?" He said, never heard. Now this devotee was standing next door and he heard that what he wanted. So immediately his wife also was there. He said, "Do you have anything like that in our house?" He said, "Yes, we have enough ginger, we have enough lavang and all those things." So then he told, "Can you come to my house and check whether whatever you need is there or not?" So then they bring this black devotee to their home on second floor. And as soon as this devotee enters, he sees a beautiful deity of Krishna. Gujaratis are very much naturally attracted to Krishna. They greet each other with Jai Shri Krishna, right? So as soon as he sees a deity of Krishna, he offers full obeisances and then gets up and says, "Hey, you are devotees of Krishna." So this person had never heard this word devotee of Krishna. He was a worshipper of Krishna in his own style. And then he said, then he got the ginger, he was very happy. This old lady, the mother of this person, was very impressed by all his kirtan. So he told his son, "You ask this devotee, can he come for taking lunch in our house?" So he invited, "Can you take lunch in our house?" Then he said, "I can't come alone, I am with so many devotees. Can they also come, you know?" So immediately the mother thinks, "Okay, call everyone." And then at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, this is the early morning Sankirtan, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, 40 devotees enter their house and they are ready. They made all the prasadam. And Tribhuvanathru leads the whole thing. Then he comes down and they all sit and the Kirtan begins. So when they begin the Kirtan, now this person was also into music, so he had a harmonium in his house. So he also joins in with the harmonium. And Tribhuvanathru is very impressed because they are mridang and kartal. And this guy who knows music, he joins with the harmonium. And a kirtan begins. 12 o'clock the kirtan begins. Kirtan generally, you know, before prasad, we have a very short kirtan, you know, because you should not disturb the prasadam timing, right? But this kirtan began at 12 o'clock and went on till 3 o'clock. And everyone was immersed in kirtan. There was not a single devotee in the 40 devotee group who was sitting here and there, watching the time, watching Tribhuvanathru, giving him hint, you know. Everyone is absorbed. And this lady, old lady, was so impressed. We are from India, we have no such absorption in Krishna consciousness. But these people who have no connection with Krishna before, for 3 hours non-stop, they are chanting. After 3 hours, the kirtan mellowed down. And this person went to Tribhuvanathru and said, "Food is ready." And Tribhuvanathru said that, "Now I am convinced that you are all devotees. Because you are sitting for 3 hours with us and chanting and playing harmonium. And you are deity of Krishna. So now I am convinced that we should take prasad in your house." So after 3 hours he said, "Now we are convinced we should take prasad in your house. But can we do little more kirtan and then take prasad?" He said, "Okay, no problem." And the kirtan again begins at 3 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, kirtan ends. And after 5 o'clock, there is Mahaprasadam prayers. The whole house is completely surcharged with Krishna consciousness. Whatever prasad comes is all gone, all eaten. Because they had not eaten since the morning. I don't know, since last day also. Because they had no source of prasadam there. And the mother is so inspired, she tells her child, the young man, "Invite them every day." And this man is thinking, I am the only earning member in this house, you know. I'm not earning very fabulously. And she's saying that every day 40 people, cooking is one thing, but you also need ingredients for it. And Mother said, don't worry, Krishna will provide. And the next 10 days they stayed in that country. Every day they came, same way, 5 hours kirtan and then prasad. After those 10 days of that sangha, it was like, you know, a very powerful sangha in 10 days. The whole family got transformed. They began to chant. And Tribhuvanath Prabhu said, if you want to be devotee, you need devotees association. So when we are gone, you have to preach and make devotees and take their association. And then he began preaching. And then he made so many devotees, and eventually a center began in the city of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. All because of association of devotees for some days. So I'm drawing parallels here that how Yadu also got association of Avadhut Brahmana. Now what is the story of Yadu Maharaj? It comes in the Bhagavatam 9th canto that Nahusha had many sons, and of them the first two sons were Yati and Yayati. So Yati was detached from his birth. So when time came from Nahusha to give his kingdom to Yati, Yati did not accept the kingdom. So in turn Yati went to forest and Yayati became the king. So Yayati was ruling the whole earth planet. He was the main king. And it is mentioned Yayati, while going on hunting excursion, he came upon Devyani and got married to Devyani. Devyani was daughter of Shukracharya. And it is mentioned that the details are mentioned in 9th canto what happens there. But Sharmishta, who is a very good friend of Devyani, because of some problems, trivials, she was told to be like a servant in the palace of King Yayati and help and serve Devyani. So they said Yayati in due course of time begot two children in the womb of Devyani. Now Sharmishta, she was not married, she desired also to have a son. So she approached Yayati Maharaj that, can you beget a child in my womb? And it is said that being a Kshatriya king, he could not refuse. That was also part of dharma for him. So then he impregnated Sharmishta. Now what had happened when the marriage took place, Devyani knew very well that if Sharmishta is going to come along with me, she is actually as beautiful as me. King may get attracted to her. So Shukracharya had told very clearly to Yayati Maharaj that apart from Devyani, if anyone else you put your eye on, you be very much careful about me. I am a very angry person. I may give curse to you also. So now what happened is, it is said that King Yayati knew about this Durvasa Muni's curse, but still he impregnated Sharmishta because he was inspired from within his heart, as if inspired by Krishna to go ahead with the act. Now when Sharmishta also begot children, it is mentioned Devyani had two children and Sharmishta had three. The names are given in Srimad Bhagavatam that this five children of Yayati were from Devyani's womb was Yadu and Turvasa, and from Sharmishta's womb was Anu, Dhruyu and Puru. So when it was later told by Devyani to Shukracharya that this is how Sharmishta got pregnant because of Yati's association, Shukracharya became very furious, and Shukracharya cursed that Yati will become old and invalid. And immediately, lo and behold, he became old and invalid. Now at this point, Yati became very much confused because he was still attached to sense gratification. And therefore, Yati pleaded to Durvasa Muni that, see, I will suffer definitely, but because of me, your daughter will also suffer. She has to stay with an old and invalid man as a husband. So kindly give some compromise somewhere. I can, you know, change something, this your curse. So Durvasa Muni said, yes, you can go ahead and exchange someone's youth with your old age. If someone agrees, that's good. And Durvasa Muni prompted, you can go to your children. You have nice children, they will accept it. So Yayati Maharaj, Prabhupada says in the purport, that Yayati became so shameless in sense gratification that he went to his sons to ask for youth, that let me enjoy with your mother, but you take old age on my behalf. So the first person he approached was Yadu, Devyani's son. He was the eldest son. Now Yadu along with Turvasa, Anu and Dhruyo, all four of them rejected the plea of their father for exchanging their youth with this old age. Bhagavatam mentions that while Turvasa, Anu and Druyu rejected the plea on material grounds that they were not able to enjoy their life, it was Yadu who rejected on the grounds of Dharma. He told his father that what you are saying is right, my father, and as a son I should accept it, but you should also know, as a part of human life progressing, a person engages in sense gratification in Dharma, and ultimately after going through all the life of sense gratification, he comes to his senses and then he accepts the path of renunciation. So if I don't get sense gratification in my young age now, I will not able to take up mature renunciation later. So therefore I don't want to accept old age now, because I want to go through the process of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, and therefore I cannot accept it. Prabhupada also mentioned in the purport that Yadu knew very well in the future that in his dynasty King Krishna, Lord Krishna will appear, and therefore he wanted that everything should happen in natural proclivity, not very disturbed kind of thing. So in this case, when Yadu refused, Yati was very unhappy, then Anu refused, Dhruyu refused, Turvasa refused, but when he went to the last son, Puru, he accepted the offer. And Yati became very happy, and there was exchange. Puru became old man, Yati again became young, and then Yati got realization of his life after enjoying for many years. But Yati became so pleased with Puru, even he was the last son, he gave his entire kingdom to Puru. But he knew that his sons had not accepted his offer, the other sons. So he cursed all of them that in your life you will never be great kings. You will never have a very great kingdom. I'll give you some small kingdoms because you are my part of my kingship. But you will never become great kings. And in your dynasty you will never have big empires or never have big kings. In your dynasty, no one will enjoy kingship properly. So that was a curse given to Yadu by Yayati. Now by this curse, Yadu became very depressed. He was not able to function properly, because he was thinking that my father was so attached to sense gratification, and now he has, first of all he is attached, and now he is cursing me also, that I cannot enjoy my kingdom and descendants will not enjoy. So in this confusion, it is mentioned King Yadu left his kingdom and went to the forest. And at this time, when he went to the forest, he met this Avadhut Brahmana, Lord Dattatreya. And after hearing from all these 24 gurus, now we hear from this verse, it is mentioned here, that he became free from all material attachment. And then he went back to his kingdom. He was given a very small place to rule. He ruled that place very sincerely. And then in due course of time, in Yadu dynasty, what happens? Lord Krishna appears. This Puru dynasty became the main ruler. From Puru dynasty, the Kuru dynasty came, where Pandavas were born, the Kauravas were born. So they became the ruler of the entire planet Earth. But the Yadu dynasty, they became ruler of small region, you know, Mathura, and eventually went to Dwarka. So this is the background of how, in frustration or disappointment, King Yadu went to forest and he met this Avadhuta Brahmana and got enlightened by this Avadhuta Brahmana. Now, it is mentioned that who this Avadhuta Brahmana is all about. Srila Prabhupada enlightens here, rather in the purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this Avadhuta Brahmana is non different from Dattatreya. Lord Dattatreya, the incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, it is said that how come Dattatreya is in this forest and how come King Yadu comes to meet Dattatreya only? It is not by chance, it is a proper planning. And amazingly, this whole story is narrated by Krishna himself. To whom? Uddhava. Now Krishna, he calls Uddhava in the previous chapter and he tells Uddhava that soon I am going to leave this planet Earth and go back to my kingdom. And that the demigods who had approached me to appear in this Earth planet, now they have again come and told that your time is up. Oh Lord Krishna, you should leave now. And then he told Uddhava secrets that now soon my Yadu dynasty entirely will be annihilated, and in a week's time the whole Dwarka will be submerged in water. So Uddhava, you should not stay in Dwarka, you should leave now. You leave, take sannyas, become a renounced order person, travel all over the world and ultimately reach the land of Badrikashram, and the place where I could not go, you give my association to them. So Uddhava, having heard this, Uddhava asked the question to Krishna. Krishna, you are telling me to renounce, get detached from this material world, but I am so attached. I want so much comforts in my life. How in this world, after you leave, will I become detached? Before you leave, you have to actually train me to become detached. So how that will happen? And Krishna says that I will teach you how to be a very renounced wandering sage by narrating you a story of a wandering sage. And that's how he picks up the story of Avadhut Brahmana, his 24 gurus and King Yadu meeting. And Krishna says that my ancestor, King Yadu, he was very attached, but now he met this Avadhut Brahmana, learned about 24 gurus, and he became detached, he became a pure devotee, and then his whole descendant were all great kings, great Rajarishis. So this is about Lord Krishna's connection with Uddhava Gita, with the Avadhut Brahmana here. Now, there are many things mentioned about Dattatreya Rishi, Lord Dattatreya in Srimad Bhagavatam. Most of the time we see Lord Dattatreya as an impersonalist, right? But Srila Prabhupada also has clarified many places the role of Dattatreya. We'll put some light based on Srila Prabhupada's purport and Srila Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita on who Dattatreya is. It is mentioned that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, that Lord Krishna has primarily two expansions or features. One is the Prabhas incarnation and one is the Vaibhav incarnation. Srila Prabhupada said Prabhas incarnation means fully potent like Krishna, and Vaibhav incarnation is partially potent like Krishna. And Prabhupada elaborates, Prabhas incarnation are of two types. One is temporary and other is eternal. And then he gives example. Temporary Prabhas incarnation potent like Krishna are Mohini avatar and Hamsa avatar. And then he mentions the eternal Prabhas incarnation fully potent like Krishna are Dhanvantri, Vyasadev, Rishabdev, Dattatreya and Kapila Rishi. And then he mentions in Vaibhava incarnation are Matsya, Kurma, Nava, Naranarayan Rishi, Varaha, etc. Now Srila Prabhupada has mentioned Chaitanya Charitamrita, one beautiful purport, that there are 25 Leela avatars of Krishna, and one of them is Dattatreya. Even Srimad Bhagavatam also mentions the beautiful section of Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam ultimately, and then there are different incarnations mentioned. A sixth incarnation is mentioned as Dattatreya. And therein Prabhupada writes, this Dattatreya Rishi, this Lord Dattatreya, had enlightened kings like Yadu, Hayaya, and some more, I don't know about the names. So, Dattatreya is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam first canto again. And Prabhupada says in one purport that there are many avadhuts in this world who are completely detached from this material world. But the best of avadhut is Dattatreya, he mentions. Rishabdev is also avadhut, and we have Kapila Muni also called as avadhut, nothing to do with material world. But Dattatreya is the best of avadhut, Prabhupada says. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport of sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that a devotee, he remembers different forms of the Lord to protect himself from the onslaughts of illusion. And he mentions, one should remember Dattatreya because Dattatreya will help a devotee not fall down in the process of Bhakti Yoga. So this is something about Srila Prabhupada mentioning about pro Dattatreya, while most of the time we hear about him as an impersonal incarnation. The Prabhupada also enlightens that just like Buddha preached non-violence, the Buddhist dharma, and Kalki came only to kill. So devotees, they don't follow Buddha. Don't follow him in terms of his preaching. Don't follow Kalki in terms of his preaching, cutting and chopping, you know. What they do is they respect and worship them, but they don't follow the philosophy. Prabhupada also urges, similarly Dattatreya's philosophy is mostly impersonalism. We may not follow that, but we respect and adore him as Supreme Personality of God, who came and appeared at a time when it was needed so. Prabhupada says that for the benefit of human society, Lord assumes various forms. He comes in the form of fish, or tortoise, hog. Similarly, he comes as a human being. Similarly, he comes as a king. When he comes as king, he is King Prithu or King Rama. When he comes as a jnani, he is Kapila. And when he comes as a yogi, he is Dattatreya, Prabhupada says. And Prabhupada says, therefore, we should accept such an incarnation of the Lord because he came for a purpose. And Prabhupada also mentioned that while we are having so many incarnations mentioned in the Bhagavatam, whom should we follow and whom should we worship primarily? Then Prabhupada said, in this case we should not be confused, because we should worship the latest incarnation. In Kali Yuga, the latest incarnation has come with the latest process, and that is Sankirtan Andolan, Sankirtan movement. So we should follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation, and his primary teachings are hearing and chanting. Yajna Sankirtana Praya. So this is Prabhupada enlightens about Dattatra Rishi. Dattatra Rishi's mention is also given in Bhagavatam, where Dattatra was born to great Rishi Atreya Muni and Anusuya. It is said that Prabhupada mentions in one particular conversation that when Kardamuni was retiring from his family life, he did so because he knew that his son was incarnation of Lord Kapila, and he also knew that his grandson will be incarnation of Lord, that is Dattatreya. Because Kardamuni is one of the daughters is Anusuya, and she was married to Atreya Rishi. So it is said that this Dattatreya Rishi, the Lord Dattatreya, if you find that most of the time, mostly in Maharashtra and Gujarat, you will find many temples of Dattatreya. Sometimes we may find all over India, but mostly in, like for Datta Jayanti comes, Maharashtra and Gujarat, they have more elaborate festivals. So it is said that Dattatreya is not just one time he came and disappeared. Even today he is invisibly, wandering all over and enlightening people. So possibly most of the time he is in one place in Maharashtra, I don't know which place, and one place in Gujarat. In Gujarat is mentioned is in Girnar mountain near Junagadh. So Dattatreya Rishi is travelling all over the earth, and especially he likes to go to one place, and that is Amarkantak. That is the place where the Narmada river originates. And it is mentioned that therefore many Dattatreya followers, different sampradayas, they never miss an opportunity to go and do Narmada Parikrama. So this is something called Dattatreya Sampradaya. Now, one very important thing is, when Yadu Maharaj approached Dattatreya, one very nice point which we can learn from Dattatreya Rishi is, even though he is such a well-learned person, when Yadu saw Dattatreya, he could understand that this person is dressed in different directions, he's not wearing any clothes, looks like a completely disheveled person, but yet his face is radiating a beautiful smile. He looks to be a happy person. Face is the index of mind, as you say. So looks like from outside he is completely unkempt, but from his face we can read that he is a very happy person. And because Yadu was very distressed, he saw that happiness in him, so he decided to go and approach him and find the source of happiness. So he went to Yadu, Dattatreya, and told him, please become my guru. And the immediate answer of Dattatreya was that, I do not know what guru is. I do not know what guru is, but I will teach you what I learned from my guru. So our acharyas mentioned, this is a very primary quality of any teacher. He never considers himself a teacher. He always considers himself a student, ever learning. And whatever he has learned as a student, he passes on the information and becomes a proper via medium in the parampara. Srila Prabhupada also would say that, I am actually not a guru, I am a servant of my spiritual master. So this is our parampara. And Avadhut Brahmana, Dattatreya Rishi, actually impressed Yayati Maharaj with this first dialogue, that I do not know what is guru, but I can only teach you what I learned from my gurus, and I have 24 gurus in my life. So in this way we can see that Dattatreya Rishi here was able to give teachings to Yayati Maharaj, and here Yayati Maharaj is completely self-realized. He's going back to his kingdom, going to rule a small kingdom, and all that has happened because only one thing Yadu Maharaj has done so far. He has not done any other act of devotional service, just only one activity, that is hearing. So we can see that hearing is so powerful. Just by hearing from a right source, everything which is difficult in our life, whatever we attach to, we can overcome that just by the process of hearing. Now when you talk about process of hearing, you should also know process of hearing is very scientific. It is not mechanical, right? It is not like for example, the process of eating is also scientific. It is not mechanical. It is not that someone wants to be very strong, he just keeps gulping food or eating more food. He needs to know right amount of food, what food, when to eat, everything is important. It's a science. So process of hearing also is science. Like I was hearing a lecture of His Holiness Shivra Maharaj, and one devotee was asking question to Maharaj. Maharaj was speaking about hearing process. And one devotee asked Maharaj this question that, Maharaj, how much should we hear? Because we are constantly hearing about hearing, right? How much should we hear? Should we hear too much? Should we hear less? Then Maharaj said, as much as you can digest. As much as you can digest. So then he clarified. This means, not that the whole day you keep hearing. You have to hear and contemplate what you heard. And then you should put in your life that hearing. And then you have time, hear more. Not that you hear throughout the day and not contemplate and not even follow what you heard. I mentioned most of the time in his Krishna consciousness ISKCON movement, he mentioned that people are too much into mechanical mode of hearing and chanting. Many rounds, lot of hours of hearing, lot of deity worship. They don't understand the principle of Siddhanta of hearing, chanting and all that. All the process of hearing and chanting is all about what you contemplate and the mood you derive, the purpose of that hearing. And then you follow in your life and you take benefit of that hearing. So I came to this beautiful, I thought I'll share with all of you about this. And one more thing about hearing is that I was hearing a lecture of His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. He was also speaking the same point that hearing is not just a mechanical process. Hearing is all about how you hear. Here also in the chapter of Bhagavatam and in so many chapters of Bhagavatam, it is not just mechanical hearing. It is taking shelter of hearing process. Parikshit Maharaj was not just known for hearing for 7 days and seven nights. He was known for taking shelter of in the process of hearing. And all these acharyas, all these devotees who are in Bhagavatam are hearing very consciously, are hearing very sincerely, and then practicing that hearing process in their life. Yadu was able to undergo a transformation within a very short time. He didn't have association of Avadhut Brahmana later in his life. But he became famous as Yadu because of this hearing, a short but a sincere hearing and then following. So Mahavishnu Maharaj mentioning in the lecture, he mentioned a very sarcastic story. He said there was one person who heard about hearing in Purushottam Mass. Bhagavad Gita is very important. Okay. So somehow other he was thinking, let me hear one verse of Bhagavad Gita, read one verse of Bhagavad Gita every day. So first day he read one verse of Gita, second day he read, but he became tired because he had no attachment for hearing. So he thought, I should do something because Purushottam Mass is there, Adhik Mass is there. So he employed a Brahmana. So you come every day at this time and you force me to hear. So he paid the Brahmana, Brahmana came, and every day morning 7 o'clock he would come and sit down and hear this verse. And in this way the whole month went. And a Brahmana said, do you like it? He said, yeah, very nice, I really like it. Can I continue? Brahmana was very eager to also continue his job. So then went on from one month it went for 1 year. Went for 3 years. After 3 years, one day this Brahmana came, the teacher came, and he saw his student was very much remorse, very morose mood. So he asked him, why are you morose? He said, tomorrow I have to go for a very urgent work outside this town for 1 week. So I will not able to hear Bhagavad Gita from you. So he said, well, then you can read Bhagavad Gita wherever you are. He said, no, I am not still so attached with Bhagavad Gita. So I am going to miss anyways. So Brahmana was thinking that, well, 1 week, you know, I may miss my salary, 1 week cut, you know. So he mentioned, don't worry. What I will do is, you have a son. I will, every day, on your behalf, he will sit and I will recite the Bhagavad Gita one verse to him. Is that okay? And the man was thinking, contemplating that my son is so young, what will happen to him if he reads or hears Bhagavad Gita for 1 week? What if he becomes a sadhu? What if he renounces everything? He said, no, my son cannot read, cannot hear this Bhagavad Gita from you because I am afraid if 1 week in my absence he hears from you, he will become detached from material world, he will renounce everything. The Brahmana smiled and said that for 5 years I am teaching you. You have not become renounced. And yet you have full faith. In 1 week your son will become renounced. So Maharaj quoting this verse, that people may keep on hearing for generations together, but may have no effect on them. But when they take shelter in this hearing process, and actually sit down to hear Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavatir Uttama Shloki, Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. When that mood is there, that actually it is not that Bhagavatam class needs my audience so that many people are sitting in the class. No, I need Bhagavatam. And that mood, when it comes in Krishna consciousness, then that Bhagavatam will affect our life. And that Bhagavatam will create revolution, as Prabhupada mentions, that Bhagavatam creates revolution, not in this world, but even in our life. So this is what we can learn from this beautiful story of Yadu, that how he got revolutionized in his life because of hearing from the right source. Right source is there, plus also his personal hearing was very sincere. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.